SEM College Station Bryan.
Flag. I'm Rich Ackerman. Florida prosecutors will not press charges against Yankees reliever Aroldis Chapman because of conflicting accounts of the incident and insufficient evidence made a conviction unlikely. Chapman was said to have fired shots during an alleged dispute back in October. Both Jared Allen and Jonathan Stewart returned to practice today for the Panthers. Allen took part on a limited basis. His status for Sunday's conference championship game remains uncertain due to a broken foot, while Stewart is much more optimistic, as Ron Rivera said he expects him to play. The Spurs have the second-best record in the NBA and embark on a three-game road trip. They've currently won 11 in a row. The trip starts tonight in Phoenix against the 13-30 Suns. Danny Green is looking forward to it.
Phoenix is a good one. Obviously, you never know what's going to happen in L.A. Then, you know, another good team after that. So, a couple good games on the road. That was a good test for us.
The Spurs won't have Tony Parker, who will sit out with a hip injury. This is the third meeting between the two teams in the previous two. San Antonio held Phoenix to 84-79 points. The Cavaliers are back home to host the Clippers. Cleveland won in Brooklyn last night after getting crushed by the Warriors Monday. LeBron James quickly brushed that one off.
I feel like we're in a good place, but we got room for improvement. We got a lot of room for improvement, but we're a very good team, and we just got to continue to improve and not take steps backwards.
The Clippers have won 10 of 11 despite not having Blake Griffin due to injury. Also tonight, ninth-ranked Iowa in the college ranks on the road at Rutgers. I'm Rich Ackerman.
The Panthers, the Cardinals. We've got the NFC Championship game covered on CBS Sports Radio.
Patrick Seinert with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM. Brought to you by RPLE Termite and Pest Control, shielding and protecting homes against pests for over 30 years. For more information, visit rplepestcontrol.com. The Memorial Student Center Visual Arts Committee presents the opening reception of Chris LaPorte Monumental Exhibition this evening at 7 in the Reynolds Gallery. College Station High School Theater presents the musical How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, starting tonight and running through Monday. Tickets are available online or at the door. South Brazos County residents and other voters are invited to meet the candidates tomorrow at the Welburn Community Center. A chili supper starts at 6 as speakers start after. Applications are being accepted for the Brazos County Sheriff's Academy. The 12-week program provides you with a first-hand look at how the agency operates. Call 361-4906 for more information. Today, a 50% chance of showers and a high of 64. Tonight, 30% chance of rain, low of 35. Starting Monday, January 25th, you can spend your afternoons with the Doug Gottlieb Show from CBS Sports Radio from 2 to 4 here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM.
At Texas Mutual Insurance Company, we think a lot about workers' comp. We also think a lot about safety. For an employer, driver safety is serious business, which is why teaching your drivers how to be safe on the road should be, well, elementary. Okay, how do you avoid driver fatigue?
Get a full 8 hours of sleep. Pull over and rest when you're tired.
What's the problem with cell phones?
They're a distraction, which is why they should be turned off when you're driving.
What's the first thing you do when you get in a vehicle?
That's easy. Buckle up. Who'd be dumb enough to drive without a seatbelt?
Avoiding the major causes of accidents is elementary. Slow down, calm down, lie down and get a good night's sleep, power down those cell phones, and buckle up. Your employees aren't school children, but if you've got a minute, you can teach them a lot about driver safety. And isn't it worth 60 seconds to keep your drivers safe?
60 Seconds to Safe Driving is an engaging, shareable video series hosted by Texas Mutual's Woody Hill. See them for free at WorkSafeTexas.com.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to mooch off your friends.
You gonna finish that grape?
You mean the one in my mouth?
You don't need to stop buying the necessities.
What you're smelling is a natural musk.
Ew.
You don't need to be a medical test subject.
How do you feel?
Mostly okay. Sometimes, though.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell your soul to the devil.
$15 is the best I can do.
All right, deal.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Looking for podcasts of your favorite shows? Wondering when the next Zone Spirit Stop is? Or need to contact your favorite host?
Visit us
at zone1150.com.
Yes! Listen!
And now it's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Second hour of Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. You might want to get in on this. It's 693-1150 to give us a call, or you can text at 229-1939. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, is brought to you by MSC Opus. You can visit them at mscopus.org. We did that a little bit earlier. It's pretty cool stuff coming up there. And we would recommend you checking it out. I don't get out to MSC Opus as much as I like, because we have like things that go head-to-head with that. As far as
yeah,
the things
we have
that
we a cover. Lot of Friday night. Things, games, and stuff.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. All right, we were kicking around the NFL again during the break, and you mentioned there's a pretty good matchup of quarterbacks coming up in Denver this weekend.
Actually, I think the pretty good matchup of quarterbacks is more the other game.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, because I think Manning's now an average quarterback. Denver counts on their defense. Whereas I think Palmer and Newton are pretty good. That's a pretty good matchup of quarterbacks.
Different kind of quarterbacks, yeah. But that is a good matchup of quarterbacks. But let me stay with the New England Denver theme for a minute, because in the history of the NFL, these are two of the best guys that ever played. I mean,
right.
And that's saying something at probably the premier position. I just think what the quarterback position has become these days, that there is no – you can't overlook anybody that's doing what they're doing now. And you look at New England with the injuries they've had this year, and Brady's still delivering for them. And, of course, obviously the injuries that have been affecting Peyton Manning since before he came to Denver. I mean, he's had to change his game enormously, but I always laugh when I read something in there that he's trying to pull a Jedi mind trick on somebody. Well, he's sort of kept his career alive by doing those Jedi mind tricks. He makes you believe what you don't really want to believe, and he gets players to do that as well, it seems.
Yeah, well, I mean, he just knows the game so well. I think, who was it, Harrison from the Colts, that just said, hey, Manny made me a great receiver, you know. And because taught him how to work hard, he taught him routes, essentially.
Right.
You know, that's why everyone's interested to see what Manning will do next, you know. And it's kind of funny, I heard something today about that, you know, like with the, you know, someone, oh, it was Marshall Faulk. Marshall Faulk talked about how the Mannings might buy, you know, might look into buying an NFL team. You know, and they were talking about what will Peyton do next, and that was one of the options. And you know, obviously the other options are being a general manager like John Elway, or obviously an offensive coordinator or a coach. So,
and I think Elway's done a really good job, by the way, for whatever that's worth. And I don't know that you look at guys where they're playing and sort of assume that, but we were talking about earlier about people having a good feel for the game and a good feel for sports in general when we first started off today. But Manning seems like he would know the sport inside and out. I mean, he strikes me, and that whole family does, to be quite honest.
Well, I think right now he almost has to. That's the only way he's really going to get anything done, because he does not have
the arm
strength at all.
And he's
one of those guys, you know. A lot of the quarterbacks these days, you know, there are those, you know, that, you know, like Cam Newton that can run and stuff. And there are a lot of good ones like Brady. Brady can move in the pocket still.
Yeah.
I see when I watch Manning, I it's like, you kind of cringe, because you're just waiting for him to get smacked, you know, every time he's in the pocket, because he doesn't look like he can move. You know, because you think, Well, with their offensive line, which isn't good, maybe you roll him out a little bit, but you can't even really roll him out because that's not good for him.
No, it's not. Well, the thing is they're doing it. They're in the AFC Championship game. They didn't get any rushing running game at all. I mean, sometimes because they've had injuries in part, that's been part of it. But, you know, you got Gronkowski out there still catching passes. He always gives Denver fits, and so that'll be
I think he gives a lot of people fits.
Yeah, he gives a lot of people fits. That's exactly right. But he particularly gives Denver fits because they've been through this a few times.
Well, they're already trying to work on him psych-wise with his, you know, that he's – they're essentially calling him the tight end of Michael Irving's, you know, where he pushes off every play and things like that.
So he gets away with it.
Yeah,
so.
No. Well, I think that's why Denver's maybe trying to do it. Maybe they're trying to put it into the officials' mind a little bit more.
I saw, and I haven't seen anything on the book, but I haven't read the book, but I saw Gary Myers, who for years and years was a Cowboys beat writer. He's in New York now, and he'd written a book on these two guys. And I do think that they're really fascinating individuals beyond the football part of it because they are so involved. But what they were always able to do, Troy Aikman used to, when he first came into the league, they were talking about, we want to throw this pass here. And he says, well, where exactly? And they would say, well, you want to throw him, lead him here? And he said, no, do you want me to hit him in the hands? Do you want me to hit him in the shoulder? And these are those kind of guys that can hit a spot about as well as anybody that's ever played the game.
Manning can't do that anymore. I don't believe that.
He still has a shot at it, though. I mean, he still knows, even with his arm strength is just not what it used to be. He's not able to do those kind of things. But I think
I've seen him, he's missed a lot of open guys here, in, you know, this year. And there's times where it looks like maybe he knows his arm strength isn't good, so he tries to overcompensate or throw it earlier or later, you know, and it just doesn't, you know, it's just not working. I understand why Denver's got him at quarterback right now, partially because, you know, he got him into that, got him that home field advantage in that last game. But I don't think they would be any different with him or
Osweiler,
Brock. Yeah.
All right. Somebody sent a text that Elway is brilliant, and he went to Stanford. Yes, he did go to Stanford.
Yes.
Manning has the same mindset, and he went to Tennessee, though, I understand. Somebody told me that. Thing about Elway, he was smart enough to get to the team that he wanted to get to, too. Remember when he demanded a trade by tossing the possibility of going to the Yankees as a baseball player?
Yeah, because Baltimore drafted him.
That worked out.
And he didn't want to play, yeah.
And Baltimore left. They went to Indianapolis, and so he didn't go there, and he ended up where he wanted to go, and they ended up with a great quarterback and put together one or two.
I don't know if it would have happened the same way, but boy, could you imagine if they would have had? I mean, essentially, if Elway would have stayed, of course they probably wouldn't have got the draft first. But I mean, they could have had Elway, Manning, and now Luck all in, you know, over a 30-year span. That's pretty good at one position for a while.
Yeah, would have been nice.
Manning and Luck is good enough.
Where would you rank him? I mean, if you're ranking all-time
Manning?
Quarterbacks, where would you rank Manning or Brady, for that matter? I think Brady kind of jumped on the scene when they won that Super Bowl in New Orleans where they were, you know, they said, don't go for it, go to overtime. And he said, no, I think we'll just go ahead and win it here. And I think he became a great player at that time and became one of those guys you had to consider as one of the all-time best. These are two terrific quarterbacks. Do you put him up with a Johnny Unitas, who's the great tactician? Do you put him up with Joe Montana, who won all
Johnny Unitas was a good athlete, too.
Yeah, he was.
Mm-hmm. He just didn't look like it because of those shoes he wore.
Yeah, he wore those high-top shoes. That's exactly right. Dan Marino, who didn't win Super Bowls, but was probably one of the greatest passing quarterbacks that ever lived. I mean, where do these guys rank among those guys? Because you have to factor everything in. You do factor in championships. You do factor in you win Super Bowl championships. I think most people, when they look at it, look at Montana and say he's number one.
Yeah, because of the championships.
Yep.
And he's a lot more like Brady, I think. Don't you, the way his style and the way
maybe
he got
a little more mobile.
Way he got things done.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more mobile, but because he, you know, it seems like he rolled out and hit that ball in the back of the end zone to Dwight Clark that Everson Walls couldn't quite get to. I don't know. I think
Brady's rolled out a few times.
he has. But I don't know. I just think. He wasn't as mobile as Steve Young, who followed him up, but he was the kind of guy.
Not many people have been.
I don't know. I think probably if I'm ranking quarterbacks, I'd probably rank Montana number one. Those Super Bowl wins, because he did it comfortably, and he did it with a challenge, and he came out with big plays. But now, who would you if you oh, let's just say we put both these in the top 10. I don't care if you were
put both of them in the top 10.
Yeah, no, of course you definitely. Do. Of course yeah. you do. But if you do that, who would you rank ahead of the other?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Who has the edge? And in whatever order you wherever you put them in the top 10.
I'm more of a regular season guy, so I think I would put Manning ahead. I really do. I just think but I mean, where could you go wrong? Not really. But I mean, if you forced me to put one ahead of the other, I would put Manning ahead. Although, hey, you know, Brady's not done.
Yeah,
Manning's done.
Manning is done.
Brady's not done. So I mean, you know, they might not finish that way.
Last two rounds.
I mean, if Brady could keep playing like he has, you know, even this year, if he played like that another 2 or 3 years. Oh, I don't even know if you could put him ahead of Montana. You could put Montana ahead of him.
Is this the last hurrah now for Manning, or is there somebody out there who's doing bionic surgery that'll be figure out a way to bring him back for another
year? I hope it's the last hurrah. I hope he realizes that he's not the player he was. And that's kind of one reason I'd like to see him kind of go out the winner, because he probably does deserve to have won more than, you know, in the playoff and in Super Bowl level than he has.
All right, I did kind of skip over the Arizona Carolina game, but what's your picks in these games? Who do you like in New England, Denver, and Arizona against Carolina this week? Who gets to the Super Bowl?
New England and Carolina.
Okay.
I don't think Denver can score enough, and New England seems to, no matter how good a defense is, they still manage to get points. It seems like, you know what I mean? They just, you know. The defense, you know, it might not be 45 like they can against some, you know, like they did against the Chiefs. Even though the Chiefs are a good defense, but I just think they'll score enough points where I don't think Denver can match that.
God, if we're gonna jump, if we're
and
gonna,
Carolina's just complete team.
Yeah, they are. They are.
Well, two things shocked me. The first thing was that they jumped out like they did on Seattle, and then the second was that Seattle actually made a game of it after. I thought, you know, once Carolina was up 31. Was it 31-0?
Yeah, 31-0. Yeah.
I figured, you know, this game's going to end, you know, 38-20 or something like that. I figured Seattle will come back a little bit, but I didn't think it would be like, you know, down to the last minutes.
All right, since we probably won't have this opportunity again, who wins the Super Bowl?
Carolina.
Boy, that'd be quite an accomplishment. I mean, and it's been quite a season. It'd be a great way to finish it off.
Yeah, I think they're just. They've got. I think they've just got a little better defense than New England, and they can. I mean, Newton because he can run. I don't. You know what? I normally wouldn't want New England to win, but I'm not a big Carolina fan, so I almost would want New England. That's probably why I'm thinking Carolina's going to win it.
Let's not kid anybody. You're a big Blinn homer. You were since Cam yeah. came through there. That's what that's all about. We're going to take one more.
He was there. I didn't even know it when I went there and did their preview for the season.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
You missed the Cam Newton possibility there.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't. I don't have that on my resume. Sorry about that. All right.
Well, he was like, I think Cam will start at quarterback. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just skip over. Just a momentary mention. Oh, yeah, that guy could be okay, but they're not counting on anything. High school report today, we'll have Enrique Luna on. Do you know the softball season starts at the high school level tomorrow?
Tomorrow?
Not the season, but the
first practices
begin tomorrow, yeah. So here we go. A lot of a busy spring is about to get even busier. But first, we're going to take one more break. You're listening to Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle on the Zone.
Hey, hon.
Hey.
What you doing over there?
Just checking out new cars.
Cool, but no sedans, okay? A guy like me needs something with some oomph.
Okay, how about this one then? It's got 178 horsepower, paddle shifters, sport mesh front grille.
Okay, you had me at paddle shifters, go on.
Dual chrome tipped exhaust, 18-inch alloy wheels, sport leather trimmed seats, aggressive styling.
Aggressive, now that's my kind of car. What is it?
Yeah, it's the 2016 Camry.
Wait, that's a...
Sedan? Yeah.
You're really enjoying this.
More than you know.
The 2016 Toyota Camry. Styling, power, performance, and handling that really surprises. Qualified buyers get 0% APR financing for 60 months or $1,500 customer cash on a new 2016 Toyota Camry. Toyota, let's go places. See packages and options at toyota.com for feature availability. Visit gstoffers.com for details. Offers available in select states and end 2116.
For your car, your home, your business too, Acme Glass takes care of you. For over 60 years, we're the clear leader. Our quality and value keep shining through. For repair and replacement on all kinds of glass, you can trust Acme for quality that lasts. Where quality and value keep shining through, Acme Glass, we're the clear leader.
Green Teams welcomes the Wells Fargo Advisors to its family of customers. Like many other businesses, Wells Fargo Advisors uses Green Teams for interior plantscaping. Green Teams also offers short-term plant rentals and features large outdoor containers for plants on patios. Make your work environment more pleasant with plants. For more information about interior plantscaping, call Susie Gallagher with Green Teams, 823-7551. Green Teams.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Give your truck authority. Texas Truck Riggins will help you hook up your rig the way you want it with a wide variety of truck accessories, spray-in bedliners, grill guards, toolboxes, goosenecks, and more. The best products well within your budget. We can also powder coat patio furniture, old iron beds, and wheels, just to name a few. All with quick turnaround and straightforward answers to your questions. Visit Texas Truck Riggins on South College Street across from the Lake of the Bryan Municipal Golf Course. Find us on Facebook or visit us at txtruckriggins.com.
Listen to the Astros, the Rangers, the Texans, and of course, the Fightin' Texas Aggies. Your favorite teams play on the Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150.
Out in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl. Nighttime would find me in Rose's Cantina. Music would play and Felina would whirl.
I could probably let all of that play. I'd be okay with that. I'd probably take us up to the high school report, wouldn't it? That's, I like that song. I've always liked that song. All right, because we've given this some serious thought here on Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle, and we've decided that probably the most interesting thing we can talk about is rule changes. You may have one for me, right, when it comes to...
Yeah, we've done a little bit of that today, haven't we?
That's been kind of...
I never did get to my A&M women's basketball one, but I guess I'll have to hold off.
No, that's if you got anything we're open.
But the
better get it in now. Squeeze it in.
DH, yeah, I know. I've only got, eight more minutes of radio life. The DH is being looked at by the NL, possibly coming in 2017.
Designated hitter coming to... The National League, which it's never been there. It's always been, when that rule came into play, what was that, the 70s?
73, American League. That ages you.
Wow.
Well, although I wouldn't, it just doesn't seem like it's been that long.
I always liked the DH, so I'm one of these guys, but I'm an American League guy, so I start with that to begin with. I always thought that the best way to sell the rule was to do it just the exact opposite of the way they did it. You want to find out what people think of the rule. Play, when they went to the interleague play, I always thought, play without the DH in the American League and play with it in the National League so the other people would get a chance of seeing what they're missing. And I always thought that might have settled the argument because I think I like the DH.
So you have 1 year like where you play, the National League plays with the DH?
No.
I don't understand what you're saying.
No, only when you have interleague play. If the Rangers go play the Astros, you play with the – well, that was when they were in opposite
leagues. Yeah, they did it like
instead of
whoever's the home team got the
DH. Do the exact opposite.
Yeah, do the opposite.
I think that would have been an indicator whether people liked it or not. I like the DH. Yeah, the rules have been changed in baseball over the years. People never want to talk about how the baseballs have changed, but that's probably been the case. They've changed the height of the mound, and that had a big effect on. Although it looks like the pitchers are overcoming that at this point now because they're starting to come back.
Because they're all throwing at 97 miles an hour.
Yeah, and that didn't have anything to do with the equipment that they're using, I don't think. Other than arms, you know, the arms are pretty good. Of course, a lot of them are getting Tommy John surgery, so I don't know whether that matters either. But I don't know. I like the designated hitter, and I don't mind the fact that a lot of the DHs in the league are guys that can't really play the field as much as they used to. I love the offensive side of that, and I think the pitchers taking over is a good reason to do that.
That was one thing that I did like, the idea of keeping the big time names around a couple more years. But then for a while, it got to be where. It wasn't the big time names sticking around. It was just a guy who was a DH when he was 24 was the DH till he was 34.
Yeah.
You know.
But originally it kind of worked the other way, and it still kind of worked that way. I mean, to a point, there were still some people who just couldn't play in the field who could still handle the DH part of the.
There's two things. I like the idea that pitchers sometimes get hurt trying to bat, so I kind of like the DH rule for that. And I kind of like the DH rule or not having a DH rule. Cause I'd like to see it more where it's both leagues have the same thing.
With very few exceptions.
Especially now since they do play interleague games.
With very few exceptions, there have been some pitchers who can swing the bat a little bit. I mean, over the years, but very not a whole lot of them. To be honest with you, there are a few things that I enjoy less than a situation where a pitcher comes up and he has to swing the bat and he looks absolutely horrible doing it. That's not something I like to watch, and it's not something that I care for in baseball.
So there's one out and there's a guy on first and he has to bunt.
He has to bunt.
And you get him to second, but then you only have one chance to get the guy in anyway.
Right. Well, they say that there's more strategy in the National League because of that.
I mean, but
it's a limited strategy. You cut down on the strategic things that you can do.
It's a strategy of how you handle the players you have.
Right. That's under the rules as they're written, too. I mean, that's part of the deal. I'd be for this, but again, I, as a guy who's watched the American League and thought that
I'd be for it now more than I thought. I didn't want it in the first place, but now I'm all right with it. And like I said, if they both did it, then that would be one of the reasons I want. I want them both doing the same thing, both leagues doing the same thing.
All right. I'll be interested to see if anybody's got an opinion on that because I like the idea of combining the two and going with the DH. I never wanted to do it the other way, so I'll start. Once the DH came in, I thought it was a good idea. Some of the rules that come in, we were talking about the three-point shot earlier. I thought the three-point shot was a great rule. I'm glad they didn't take the red, white, and blue basketball from the ABA. I was not a big fan of that.
Kidding.
All right, you were
Julius Erving.
All right, we had a limited amount of time. You were going to say something about the Aggie women and their game against South Carolina.
That rule, I don't know if people saw that. At the very end, there was when A&M scored and tied it, like with just a second or two left, a few of the players ran off the bench onto the court. And I've talked to some officials about that, and they said unless they interfere, it's, you know, there's no penalty, no technical, so to speak. I think that's wrong in that puts the judgment on, you know, in the very end of a game, last second, everything's hectic. All of a sudden, you've got to an official's got to decide whether or not a person who, in this case, for A&M, ran all the way into the paint, did not interfere with the play. If I'm throwing to you and someone's in the way, and I don't throw it to you, and I throw it to somebody else, you've interfered, right? That person interfered because I changed my mind on what I had to do. How does the official know that?
That's a little bit like the football.
Yeah.
Is that a catchable ball,
or is it
only uncatchable because somebody hit that guy? You know.
So I think that and I understand the rule that, you know, was what happened. It was correct as far as the ruling's concerned. Don't like the rule though. In the A&M South Carolina game.
So you think,
at one point they had eight girls and three coaches on the court.
So what would it have been? Would it have been a technical call on that play had they decided to do it? I don't know.
If they felt that person interrupted with the play, yeah, or was a part of the play. But I don't even think, as fast as all that happened, I don't think the officials even knew that person was illegally, you know, was the sixth or seventh or eighth person on the court at that time. Because it all happened so quickly, you know. I mean, that was a great play in the first place, what A&M did to tie the game, and then to have that happen. Because, I mean, literally, when you watch that play again, and it's only for a brief split second, but the girl that comes out on the court looks like she's almost defending the inbound pass because she's that far onto the court.
Big game for the Aggies tonight, the women.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it is a big game because Missouri's a lowly, low-ranked. I mean, they're ranked. But
I think AP's got them at 23, I believe.
So, I mean,
but still, that matters. I mean, that makes a difference in perception. I always thought – I tend to think, even though we nitpick it to death, I tend to think that the men's tournament, that they pick the seeds a little bit better than they do in the women's tournament sometimes. And yet, it has the similarity of that your perception does become reality. You win some of these games against a nationally ranked team. It helps you down the line.
Well, the men don't have as big a worry of getting people in the stands. The women do. So that's part of the reason with the seedings and where they play and things like that.
Yeah, so, and I understand why it's drawn up that way to get.
They even have
crowds.
A rule like where you can only you can move a team up a seat or something like that just to get them to a spot.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
because it seems like a rule is the last.
Well,
thing
I mean,
we should
a rule as far as how the committee thinks.
Because I think you should always dictate how people think. That's what's happened to the NFL. That's why nobody knows what a catch is anymore.
Don't get me started on those. I'm not even a Cowboys Dez Bryant fan, and don't even get me started on that.
Yeah, I'm the same way, but you can take Calvin Johnson too and do the same.
Of course,
thing.
What's a hit as well? I mean,
yeah,
in the NFL, I kind of agree with Trump a little bit, as much as I hate to say that.
Okay,
with his NFL soft, but that's probably the only thing I've agreed with so far.
Would you like to be on any? If you were on any sports rules committee,
ooh.
Which one would you take, and what rule would you institute?
I don't know if I can answer that.
If you're on any sports rule committee, which one? Pick the sport right now.
Right now, it would probably be basketball and college basketball, and there'd be a couple. But one is I'd be for moving the 3-point line back again a little bit because I just think it's become too easy a shot to be worth more than what it is. Compared to a 15-foot jumper.
Okay, my sport would be soccer, and I would do it because I could make before they arrested me. I'd make a lot of money, I think. I'd be involved with FIFA for an extremely long period of time, right?
Yeah, you'd make your money and then run.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'd hit the road after that.
No decisions. Right. It's just about money.
It doesn't matter what the decision is. How much are you going to pay me? That's what it's coming down to. All right, you're listening to.
You set me up for that one.
I did not.
You could say what you wanted to say.
I did not, but I thought about it as we were talking about. High School Report is coming up, and we'll talk to Enrique Luna of the Bryan Lady Vikings. He's the head coach of the softball team. That's next here on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
News Talk 1620 WTAW. I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. College Station Police is asking for your help in identifying two men of interest in a theft and credit card abuse case. Photos of the men are online at WTAW.com along with how to contact police. CSPD says one of the men stole a backpack containing, among other things, the victim's Aggie ring and wallet. The credit card was later used in an attempted purchase at the College Station Target by the suspect and a possible accomplice. According to Assistant Police Chief Brandy Norris, the one accused of taking the backpack is someone who likes to take people's property while they work out. The city of College Station has updated its population estimate.
Our latest population, 106,465.
Mayor Nancy Berry on WTAW's The Infomaniacs provided background into the population increase of 4,200 last year.
Staff approved and inspected construction worth $284 million in 2015. We had a record in 2014. We just blew it away by platting 870 residential lots within the city. And we had a record for single-family building permits, 863 of them. That's almost a 15% jump from the previous year.
The city's population estimate is based on certificates of occupancy. Bryan City staff are working on two major pool projects this year. One is at the Bryan Aquatic Center, where Deputy City Manager Hugh Walker says an engineer is under contract looking at how to spend between $600,000 and $1 million.
That's a project that will actually close that pool down for a short period. The improvements that are being suggested are those that really need to be done. It's for safety. Better water quality will take care of the filter and the circulation system and the gutters. So those sort of things that really need to be done, you just have to maintain a pool every now and then.
On WTAW's The Infomaniacs, Walker says the city is getting closer to the start of building the new pool at Sadie Thomas Park.
We really hope that we stick to that schedule, which means it'll be open come Memorial Weekend. And the contractor hopes to break ground sometime this month, and so we're moving forward with that.
Back at the Aquatic Center, Walker says the city will coordinate with the school district when the facility will be closed. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
If you're in the home construction or remodeling business, you'll want your ad in Bryan Broadcasting's At Home magazine. At Home magazine is 64 pages of local articles reaching local homeowners. At Home includes everything a homeowner needs to know to spruce up his home inside and out. And At Home magazine is featured at the 2016 Home and Garden Expo. For early bird special advertising pricing, contact Sam Jones with Bryan Broadcasting or email sam@bryanbroadcasting.com.
New quarterback, new offensive coordinator? You need Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of the Bellucci Hour to guide you through these new changes in Aggie football. So be at the tap to watch the Bellucci Hour every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1. It's spring ball season, and who better to deliver all the news to you than Billy and Bryce of Tex Ags Radio, live and in person. Plus, enjoy the tap's daily lunch specials for only $7.99. Get to the Bellucci Hour for the ultimate A&M recruiting updates every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1 at the tap.
Howdy, Aggie fans. Your Fighting Texas Aggie track and field teams are back in action this Saturday, January 23rd, when they host the 2016 Texas A&M Quadrangular Meet. They'll welcome Arizona State, Oklahoma, and Texas Tech to the Gillum Indoor Track Stadium for a 12 p.m. start time. Purchase tickets today by calling 888-99-AGGIE or by visiting 12thman.com/tickets. Support your Texas A&M track and field team this Saturday at noon at the Gillum Indoor Track Stadium as they host the 2016 Texas A&M Quadrangular Meet. Thanks and gig'em.
Your home for Texas A&M women's basketball is Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Defense! Defense!
Now it's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Our High School Report is brought to you by Kelly Burt Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. Call Kelly Burt Dozer at 778-1902, proudly supporting the youth of our community. And on the line with us, we've got Enrique Luna, who is the head coach of the Bryan Lady Vikings, the softball team. And, Coach, you can tell it's softball season because the weather's going to get cruddy right about now, isn't it?
Absolutely. I realized it about 1 o'clock this afternoon when the weather kicked in. I was like, oh, it's time to practice, so let's get after it.
Well, all right, you guys will be taking, it's the first day you can practice tomorrow. What time are you going to be out there, if you can be out there?
We should be out here right at 3 o'clock. That's when our 7th period athletics begins. So, you know, we'll get a good 2-hour workout and get after it.
It seems like it's just a few years ago that the UIL kind of changed this, because it used to start on Monday, and I guess they moved it up to Friday. I wonder what the logic was in that. I'm sure coaches had some input into that, didn't you?
Yeah, I think originally it's because baseball wanted those 2-day tryout days, and so that way they could get started. But we pretty much know our kids in softball, so some schools around Texas, they still use it as tryout days for Friday and Saturday. But you know, we've been fortunate; we got most of our kids in the off-season program, so we've seen our kids all year.
All right, you've got, I want to talk to you about what's going to be, I think, a very interesting season for the Lady Vikings this year, but you've sort of started it off in a good way yesterday when you had some three of your girls sign to play college softball, which is always just a fun opportunity to have the families together, and particularly when you have more than one, like you had three yesterday who signed with junior colleges. That's a big day.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, we were very excited for those young ladies. You know, they got two hardworking parents that really done a lot for them growing up, and so I was very proud of them. We got a couple of girls that we're hoping, here in the next few weeks that we'll be able to find a final home, and they'll make a decision. So it's exciting. You know, we're very blessed a few years back that we had quite a few girls that signed, and, you know, this year we'll have nine players playing at one form or another and level in college. So it's always fun for not only our kids but our program also to show how much they actually get after it.
It is pretty impressive. I mean, you've got an opportunity for something to pursue there and get part of that college paid for. That's a big deal these days, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I tell our young ladies, it's a little different in girls' athletics. You know, in junior college, they're able to give them a lot more than they would in Division I and Division II. And so, to me, you know, a girl that's going to play at the college level, that's sometimes the best route, because you're going to, you know, we're fortunate that our young ladies are pretty much have everything paid for. So, that's kind of exciting for them and their families and not have to worry about anything.
Yeah, I got a junior college scholarship in the band, which tells you pretty much they were desperate for a band deal at that time. But I actually did, and it makes a big difference. Whether you're my age or anybody else. But all right, the season actually doesn't get started for a little while. I guess your first scrimmage will get started at the beginning of February. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, well, you know, we got about a week and a half of practices, and then we'll go down and face our regional champions in Fort Bend Ridge Point right off the bat, scrimmage them, and perennial 6A power pair of lands. So we got two tough ones to start off with, but it's always good. And we'll have a couple of weeks of scrimmages, and then unfortunately with the way the UIL has set up our games and our tournaments, we won't have any non-district games, so we'll kick right into our tournament and then district. So it'll go pretty fast, that's for sure.
So your opening games will be your tournament. That BCS tournament that you guys host every year is a huge tournament, and people around town are going to be seeing people playing softball just about everywhere. How many fields will you guys end up taking over the course of that tournament? How many will you play on?
This year we've added BRAC, the Bryan Regional Athletic Complex. So we're very excited about getting some teams over in Bryan. So with the addition of that, we'll actually be playing on 16 sites. So we'll use veterans in Central and College Station, and then College Station High School, Rudder, and us. So it'll be 16 different fields, and we'll talk about that as we progress, but we've actually increased to 73 teams this year. And so we'll have two different divisions.
You've always had, you know, a way when you get over that 64, you got to figure out a way to work everybody in. So it's you're splitting it up into two divisions this year. Is that how was that? How did the coaches take that? They like that, or what was the?
Yeah, I think so. We had some teams that wanted to get in and didn't get the deadline. So we have our 64 teams that are playing the bracket. And so I talked to Coach Gibson and Coach Missy over at Rudder, and we all decided, hey, you know, why don't we do a round robin portion, and that way we just hosted our games at our fields, and we don't ever have to move or worry about moving or anything like that. So that's what we're going to try out this year. It's going to be us three and six other schools, and nobody will ever play each other twice, and the local schools won't ever have to leave their fields. So that's what our second division is basically a 9-team round robin.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. So a 9-team round robin, that's that means you're going to be pretty busy over that period of time then, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean it's you know, with the addition of that, it goes from 180 games to 220. So so there'll still be a lot of softball going on in 3 days.
Just text me where I need to be, okay? Can we do that from that standpoint? I tell you where I really need to be is I need to be with you when you go out to Arizona, because you're going to be playing in a tournament out there this year. And I understand you go there through Vegas. I think if Larry goes, he might not ever come back. So I think I'm probably the one who should be covering that, right?
I'd love to have one of you guys, that's for sure, travel with us.
Well, talk about that tournament. You guys have gone out there before. Tell me about Bryan's history competing in that tournament.
Well, in 2002 was our first time going out there, and we got invited. And, you know, of course, that was the year we won state. We went out there, and we lost to the number one team in the nation, 1-0. So we had a great run out there and we were kind of the no-names. And, it, you know, one of my favorite memories is Sue Inquist, the Hall of Fame coach from UCLA, coming up to Coach Williamson and telling her how impressed she was from our kids and our fans and our coaches. And that was one of the greatest memories. And then we went back in 07, and we didn't fare quite as well. We went 3-3 that weekend. But that kind of propelled us because that year we ended up going to the regional finals and losing 1-0 to the eventual champion, Garland, the three-game series. And so that was the last time we went. It's been 9 years, but we're excited about it. We're the only Texas team that's going to be out there. And I haven't gotten the bracket or anything like that, but usually what they do is they have 40 teams out there from all over, from Arizona, Nevada, Colorado, California, Utah. So we'll go out there and we'll do the best we can and have a good time with it and try to represent our not only our community but our state well.
I know I've talked to you about this before, and to Janice Williamson, who was your predecessor there as the head coach. And there is you guys got a lot of it's a bonding type thing when you make a long road trip like that.
Absolutely, yes, sir. You know, from the very first year we took it, we actually took a bus. And we went from here to El Paso and from El Paso to Arizona.
All right, I may not go after all. Okay.
That was the first year. We got a little smarter. We've gotten a little smarter the past two times. We'll be flying out of Austin this time. But it is, and it's a chance for our kids to get something. A lot of our kids have actually never flown, so we're excited to give them that opportunity. And it was just we have such a big senior class and junior class. We wanted to try to do something exciting for them, and when we got the invite, that was kind of a no-brainer to have an opportunity to go represent, like I said, not only our community but our state. So we're very excited about that.
All right, I know you jump into district pretty early, and I'm curious if this tournament is part of why you do that, or did it just fall at the right time where you could take it at spring break or something like that? I don't really know where it fits into the schedule.
Well, when we end up going to Arizona, we'll be coming off of our third game in district, and that'll be our actual third tournament. So we'll play consolidated on that Tuesday, and then we'll fly out the very next day. So we'll actually be three games in the district, and it'll be our final tournament. But it does fall during spring break. I was able to talk to the Willis coach to move our game back to give us an opportunity to fly back and not have to be rushing back to play a district ball game. So instead of playing on Tuesday of spring break, we'll play on Friday. So unfortunately, our kids don't get a spring break this year, but they do get a little privilege of going out of state and going on a play. So
I think I could probably tolerate a move like that for an opportunity to play. And tell me exactly where the tournament's going to be played. What's the name of the town where this is hosted?
The tournament is played in Bullhead City, Arizona, and it is connected, similar to Bryan College Station, to Laughlin, Nevada. It's about an hour and a half south of Las Vegas, southeast, and it's a kind of a tri-state area. California's tip is right there, Nevada and Arizona. So the city itself, both towns aren't that big, but they just do a tremendous job of putting on this great tournament and bringing in a lot of teams. And for us, we're going to be fortunate because a lot of those teams, that's actually the first or second weekend that they're allowed to play. And so for us,
so you'll be seasoned by that point, right?
Yes, sir. We'll actually have quite a few more games than they will.
Talking to Enrique Luna on our high school report, sponsored by Kelly Burt Dozer. And Coach, what are your thoughts about the district this year and just how good this Bryan team could be? I think you've got a lot of pieces in place to be a pretty good softball team.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we're very fortunate that we returned pretty much everybody. We got to replace a great senior we had, Rachel Ullman, on the mound. We got some young ladies that can step up to that. But we're very fortunate that pretty much everybody's back from the team from last year. And, you know, but at the same time, we know that we got our hands cut, you know, hands full, because Willis is probably one of the best teams in our region. They have pretty much everybody back, including their pitcher, who's a three-year starter. Coach Gibson's doing a great job over at College Station. And Rutter's doing some very nice things with Coach Bernie. You know, Coach Slayton over at Consolidated, she's brought a lot of fire to their program. So we know it's going to be tough. Huntsville's kind of the sleeper that can sneak up on you on any night. But it's going to be a good race. I'm excited about our opportunities. We just got to go out there and perform.
You have so many girls, and you've done this over the years. You have so many girls that are so versatile that I may go in and say, oh, yeah, okay, you've got to – I'm looking forward to seeing that shortstop play again. Well, she may be a catcher this year. So, I mean, I know you've done that over a period of time, and that goes back a long way. You have girls that are just really well-schooled in the game. Can you talk about some of the competitors you'll have coming back on the softball field this year?
Yeah, I mean, we're fortunate that most of our young ladies that are going to be on varsity, they play year round, and that's a tribute to their parents and their coaches, their summer ball coaches, that helps us out. So it's very easy to be able to help them, you know, plug in and know where we're going to put them. You know, at shortstop, we got Celine Quinones, who's a junior now, and she kind of was the heir apparent after Erica graduated and at A&M, and she's done a tremendous job. You know, behind the plate, we got Aldrina Andretti, who's a 2-year starter also, and she's done a tremendous job for us. And then, you know, we got one of the fastest outfielders out there. You know, we have Shannon Morris, who's a senior this year, and she can fly around with the best of them, and Morgan Chavarria. You know, they cover a lot of ground. At third base, we got Desiree Salceda, who's a 2-year starter, and she can hit the ball a mile away. I don't know if you remember, but a couple years ago, she hit a bomb out of Consolidated with half a bat because I was working on her timing, and so she's got a lot of power. And Lauren Galvan, who will be one of our pitchers, but also our second baseman, she returns. And so we got a great nucleus of kids that have our season now, our veteran, that, you know, last year I knew we were going to take some lumps early just because it was the first time, even though they were juniors and sophomores, it was the first time for them to be full-time starters after we lost such a big class a couple years ago. So I'm excited.
Well, I do remember Salceda, and funny, over the years I've thought about this, how many games that I've gone to where I've gotten a chance to see you guys hit, you know, big home runs that, you know, I've even been out there when people driving down the street could get hit by a ball going around. In fact, I've actually seen that from the press box, but I've seen it in playoff games. But I guess that's the ultimate goal, make a good run in the playoffs again.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we play in probably the toughest region in Class 5A. You know, we got Ridge Point High School as our defending regional champions, and you know, they got a pitcher who's going to Florida State, and Magnolia West, who we faced up against last year, that their pitcher is committed to Texas. So we got a very strong region, and we just hope that we can take care of business in the during district and set ourselves in position to make a good run. I certainly think that now that we've seen it and we've been there, done that, you know, we can certainly go out there and go compete with the best of them.
All right. It's Enrique Luna, who's the head coach of the Bryan Lady Vikings, and they're going to get started tomorrow, as is everybody else who's playing high school softball. It's the first day for practices tomorrow, and that is our high school report, brought to you by Kelly Burt Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. Call Kelly Burt Dozer at 778-1902, proudly supporting the youth of our community. We're going to take one more break. We'll be back to let you know what's coming up in the Eagle tomorrow after this.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Pioneer Steel, Coldwell Banker, Agtown Realtors, and Rudy's Barbecue.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Give your truck authority. Texas Truck Riggins will help you hook up your rig the way you want it with a wide variety of truck accessories, spray-in bed liners, grill guards, toolboxes, goosenecks, and more. The best products well within your budget. We can also powder coat patio furniture, old iron beds, and wheels, just to name a few. All with quick turnaround and straightforward answers to your questions. Visit Texas Truck Riggins on South College Street across from the Lake of the Bryan Municipal Golf Course. Find us on Facebook or visit us at txtruckriggins.com.
New quarterback, new offensive coordinator? You need Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of the Bellucci Hour to guide you through these new changes in Aggie football. So be at the tap to watch the Bellucci Hour every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1. It's spring ball season, and who better to deliver all the news to you than Billy and Bryce of TexAgs Radio, live and in person. Plus, enjoy the tap's daily lunch specials for only $7.99. Get to the Bellucci Hour for the ultimate A&M recruiting updates every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1 at the tap.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
At Discover, we believe anniversaries should be a time of celebration, not obligation. That's why we think annual fees are ridiculous. And now just for giving us a try, we're going to give new card members a one-year anniversary gift they'll never forget. At the end of your first year, we'll take all the cash back you've earned, then match it dollar for dollar. No caps and no catches. Because we know if you try us, you'll like us. And that's worth every penny. Try it and believe it at discover.com/double. Anniversary double cashback offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
Gabe Bach here reminding you to tune in to Texags Radio mornings at 8 for Aggie Basketball Talk. Former A&M player and Texags analyst Logan Lee is in studio each Monday and Thursday at 9:05, and we'll be joined on Thursdays by former women's basketball assistant coach Tap Bentz. Former player and coach Dr. John Thornton joins Olin Buchanan and me in studio Wednesdays at 8:35. We also talk to men's basketball coach Billy Kennedy Tuesdays at 10:35 and women's basketball coach Gary Blair Wednesdays at 10:35. It's a basketball bonanza on Texags Radio. Weekdays at 8 on The Zone.
In the clearing stands a boxer and a fighter by his trade, and he carries the reminders of every glove that laid him down or cut him till he cried out in his anger and his shame, I am leaving, I am leaving, but the fighter still remains.
Thanks, Sylvester Stallone win the Oscar this year for Best Supporting Actor since we brought up the boxer, I think. I'm a big Rocky Balboa fan. I haven't gone to see Creed yet, though. Kelly Brown's in with us to talk about something other than the nonsense that I've been talking about for about 2 hours. And tell us what's coming up in the Eagle.
Well, first, I do think Sylvester Stallone has a possibility of winning, just because the Academy's going to want to give him something. Okay, so news that you can go to read online at theeagle.com as well as MiAggieNation.com. We've got there's a groundbreaking for the new human clinical research facility at Texas A&M this afternoon. So what is that and what's it going to do and what does it mean?
I'm glad you asked that question because I didn't know where to go from there.
I like it's like the clinical research facility, the human clinical. So yeah. I guess they're going to be checking us out. Well, it's tied to the College of Education and Human Resources, so HR. So I don't think they're going to be poking and prodding people or checking out brain matter or anything like that.
Feel a little bit better. There's not a lot of brain matter around here, but just in case. You
exactly.
Know.
So they're gonna do a deep dive into HR type stuff. So that'll be interesting. Steve's going to tell us more about that. Also on campus, we had the annual Martin Luther King Jr. breakfast this morning. The event featured remarks from the newest president at A&M. Of course, he's not new anymore. I got to stop saying that. He's been here almost a year. But anyway, he spoke, and there's a panel discussion with civil rights activist Dick Gregory and a comedian, Amanda Seals. So
Dick Gregory was a comedian for years and years, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
But I mean, Dick Gregory's kind of my era. I'm older than you.
Right, a little bit. I mean, just a little bit.
Dick Gregory had the white beard even before mine was white.
Well, you still have gray in yours. Mine's just all white.
Yeah.
What? But anyway, Dick Gregory.
But it's a good look for you. I do like
thank
that.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it. But he's doing a lot with. He's done a lot in the last few decades, also with the civil rights movement. So that should be an interesting story. Also from Steve, got lots of crime news. We have a man accused of sneaking methamphetamines, a syringe, and a syringe into the jail. So, not really things that you probably should be sneaking into a facility that...
They've already got, like, you're already in jail. So, right. It's not like they have to go out and find you.
And they're
going to
frisk you. They're going to check that stuff out. So, you always get caught. Anyway, we also have the official cause of death for an inmate who died at the Brazos County Jail in August. So, you can go online and check that one out in a couple hours here after the story is fully sourced. Robertson County DA, and Robertson County, for those who don't know, is where Hearn is, Franklin. He was...
in Robertson County, Calvert. Yep.
Well, it also has a former DA now. He was a six-term DA. Okay, so that's like from early 90s all the way through, I think, 2012. And his name's John Paschal. And no longer was an elected official, he was a defense attorney and a civil attorney. He was indicted a year ago. Today, he pled guilty to misapplication of fiduciary property, which basically means he pleaded guilty to taking advantage of an estate that he was running for a woman who had died. Ayers sued. Bottom line is he's now convicted of a third-degree felony, and he had to drop his law license. He can no longer practice law. Stiff penalty there in Robertson County.
You know, you've come on here, you've done this like twice now, explained what things are, because you just throw out words like fiduciary, I'm out of here. You know, it's not one of my strong points at this point.
Yeah, we have a Black's Law Dictionary on our desks, and we use this cool thing called Google to look up words like that. But anyway, he is an Aggie, and so we'll have more on the John Paschal story as well.
All right, and anything on the weather? Because it's getting cold out here.
It is. Well, I know we're not going to get the snow that's on the East Coast.
East Coast, right. So, and there's...
it's like there was any possibility for that. No,
it looks like to avoid the snow, the best place to go is going to end up being Denver. I mean, that's... Isn't that weird? I mean...
And they got a big game this weekend.
Yeah, that's... So as opposed to playing in New England, where they might be in... might not be able to get in there for
Who's your best bet on that game?
I'm going with the Patriots to win. I hate to go with Richard, but he's...